a gathering of this nature, who I think are the most important people to have here today, Chairperson. I greet you this morning, and I thank you for this opportunity to have CASAC to present on this traditional courts bill. I have been here since Tuesday, so I'm not going to rehash the old ground. And what I'm going to do from the submission of CASAC, I'm going to zoom into the areas that seem to be niggly points about the way forward and what can possibly be options and recommendations. It's been a privilege to be here. I've learned a lot. In particular, I have learned a lot from people who come from rural communities, places I didn't even know that exist, such as Baba Nango. I honestly did not know that there are people whose communities are simply rezoned as game reserves, where they are living with wild animals under the guise of part of celebrating the heritage, the cultural heritage. This has been a very, very difficult and emotionally draining and challenging experience for me, because I have also come to see that although forced removals and laws that disrespect people have ostensibly been removed and scrapped, but people continue to live with this reality. I'm very sad that the earlier translation from Zulu to English didn't come across very well, because I think the story of the people of Baba Nango, it makes one's hair stand on air. This speaks to a very important issue that CASAC has been raising, that a process of making laws, a process of making policy, has got to speak and to be informed by people's lived realities. It has been very instructive, Chairperson, that people's lived experiences seem not to be known, to some extent even by members of Parliament, and that raises a very fundamental question about where are the constituency offices, whose constituencies and which constituencies are served. But that speaks to something else that CASAC is interested in, which I'm not going to get into right now. On the question of the traditional courts bill, I want to make it very clear and very upfront that CASAC rejects the traditional courts bill in its entirety. The Council of the Advancement of the South African Constitution was formed to promote and to advance the Constitution, to protect the values of the Constitution. Our work is on three areas mainly. We work on areas of litigation. CASAC was the key partner and the key mover on the Constitutional Court against the president of this country on the appointment or reappointment of Justice Mwai. Secondly, we consider litigation as the last resort. We work also in the area of public education in terms of the Constitution and the constitutional values, so that all of us can understand what the Constitution is. Thirdly, we try to set up conversations about what this Constitution is and what it means at different levels. And when the atmosphere is less contentious, we would like to really have a conversation about why this bill and other bills that are still going to come, including the traditional framework, the traditional affairs framework, a bill that is being mooted, and the traditional leadership governance framework act upon which this bill is based, TASAF would like to speak about why that is unconstitutional, even that bill. So, why do we reject this bill? I mean, even that act. So why do we reject the traditional courts bill? The answer, in fact, is in the traditional courts bill that was proposed by the Department of Justice itself. The Department of Justice seems to be very confused about what exactly they want to do with this bill. What exactly is this bill? Firstly, the bill is presented as an attempt to promote, to affirm, and to give recognition to customary law. The Department of Justice asserts that all of this has got to be done within the parameters of the Constitution. This bill is not about customary law. This bill is about something else that is in the Constitution, and indeed, the Constitution has got to deal with that. It is about recognition of traditional leadership and its role in a democracy, which is in Chapter 12 of the Constitution. TASAF wants to make it very clear that our rejection of this bill is not the rejection of the system of traditional leadership, nor is it the rejection of customary law. We believe that there's a confusion that has been made about customary law and traditional leadership. Traditional leaders, as it was said yesterday and the days before, traditional leaders have a role to play in customary law, have a role to play in traditional justice, have a role to play in culture and African cultures broadly. But traditional leaders are not the custodians of African customary law. The custodians of African customary law are people who believe in the customs, are communities who believe in the customs. No law can make customary law a living customary law if people don't believe in it. We would like that the Department of Justice to go back, to think about what it actually wants to do. If it is about regulating the traditional courts or the tribal courts that are happening presently, if it is about recognizing customary law and African cultural systems, then we need a completely different process. It is the view of TASAC that it is important to make the following observations. One, the very notion of segregating communities against ethnic and tribal identities, especially if those identities are not chosen, undermines and makes mockery of the founding principles of the South African Constitution. It is important also to recognize the fact that we did not just come here and find ourselves here. The institution of traditional leadership, as an anthropologist has shown, and as we know from our own experiences, is an institution that has been deeply tainted by the colonial system and by the apartheid system. These communities that we are talking about, the so-called traditional communities, many of them, as people of Bafokeng will speak if they have an opportunity, as people from Pilani will speak if they have an opportunity, these are constructs of the apartheid system, which this bill seeks to entrench in this new dispensation. We believe that when wills are not taken into consideration, when laws of this nature are made, as Mama Mthimkhulu said this morning, definitely then the law is going to either erase them or treat them in a way that is incidental. We believe that this week we have had very rich experiences and very troubling experiences. And these are just but a tip of an iceberg, not even a tip of an iceberg, of the lived experiences of people in this country. And we believe that when we say that we reject the bill, we're not even saying the bill must be withdrawn. We are saying the traditional courts bill must be scrapped in its entirety. This bill was withdrawn in 2008 on grounds of unconstitutionality. The same bill came this year, still unconstitutional bill. CASAC suggests that there is something that can be done in the interim. One, the Department of Justice, if it lacks capacity to understand the intricacies of customary law, the evolution of customary law, what it means, the complexity of traditional leadership, that it needs to get that capacity and get it from everywhere in South Africa so that we can have a conversation about what is customary law. Not in the Tswana clan, when we have issues in my clan, we don't need a traditional leader to come and resolve those issues. That is, in fact, at the level where customary law is first and foremost. And when I'm talking about issues, I'm not only talking about family courts, as now the department is trying to fudge the issue about recognizing lower courts. I'm talking about custom and customary law. That can come and tell us what is our custom, what is our tradition, what is our ritual. I think we need to begin there. We need to begin at which level do the court system, ibandla lefamily, come in. Even if that is not going to be regulated, that context is very important. Secondly, a lot of people have spoken here about illegitimate traditional leadership. We are not expecting this committee to deliberate on those issues. But CASAC wants to ask this question. And it is a similar question that was asked by the minister yesterday. Does this house want to proceed and give so much power to an area of leadership, an area of life that is highly contested? Is that what we want? Thirdly, people have spoken here about civil society organizations and civil society organizations speaking for people. We don't speak for people. We speak with people. In CASAC, we have esteemed members who are legal experts on different areas, who are experts in other areas. We also have community members and people who work in different areas. If we are going to discredit the role of civil society organizations, we need to be very careful about what we are saying. Had it not been for Section 27, we would not have had the investigation on the textbook in Limpopo today. Our children next year would still go and be subjected to the similar kind of process. So we want to make it very clear that parliamentarians need to be very clear about whether they want to govern this country on their own, so that we can all sit back and say, okay, kubeni kibeke phambili. Or whether they want us all to come together. It can't be as and when people want to. We have the right to make this intervention. Now, why do I say the bill is unconstitutional? I leave all the other issues that have been dealt with. If you know customary law and you know the South African Constitution, it is unfortunate to say this on a bill that is drafted by the Department of Justice. You will know that to suggest a parallel system is unconstitutional. It is disappointing that even the South African Human Rights Commission, a Chapter 9 institution, does not understand the relationship between this, because Mubona, with the department consulted, Mubona has got a very different system. In fact, even in Mubona, that system is contested because there's an assumption that Mubona has a homogeneous identity, whereas the First Nation, the indigenous people of Mubona, are not recognized.
Talk to your submission, ma'am.
Yes.
Leave the All right. Submission out. Talk to
now,
your submission.
We are saying, how do we deal with customary law? What does the Constitution, in fact, suggest that we should deal with customary law? The Constitution says that customary law has got to be recognized as other traditional and religious laws and rights to belief and culture, so that people can have access to that. What the Constitution does not say is that we should have a separate system for that. So Kazakh says, as a resident of a suburb in Johannesburg, if my daughter is married and we are having negotiations of lobolo, and the Bloom clan decide to renege on the agreement, that I should be able to walk in a magistrate court in Johannesburg and say I would like this matter to be tried and to be tried on grounds of customary law. So we're talking about integrating customary law. Now, we're not going to have somebody who doesn't know customary law, but rather an expert in that system who's going to follow the systems of customary law. So we're talking about an integration. Secondly, our proposal is that this integration has got to be a voluntary participation. Our Constitution recognizes customary law. It recognizes the right to belief and culture as chosen. So, Kazakh does not even call for the clause to opt out. We think that the clause to opt out is a non-starter. That in itself puts people in a difficult situation. We've seen in Butterworth a woman who called the cops. We've seen what has happened to her. We have enormous cases where when people even now decide to use the legal system and call the police and all of that, that they get victimized. So we are saying, rather, customary law, as with other laws and belief systems like Judaism, for example, nobody forces people to be Jews. You can be a Jewish person by birth and by culture, but nobody forces you to go to the shul. You choose to go to the shul. Nobody forces you to be an Orthodox Jew. You choose whether you want to be a Hasidic Jew or not. We are saying that let people decide that they want to opt into the system. They want to use customary law and not force it upon them, because that kills its dynamism. Finally, Kazakh says, there is no vacuum that ought to be left by scrapping this bill. For a long time, in this House, in the National Assembly, We spoke of these abuses, and we were told, no, these things don't exist. Now, the very same Department of Justice comes and changes tax and fast tracks and changes gear and say, we know these abuses are happening. We cannot wait any longer. And we are saying, if you know that these abuses are happening, do your work as the Department of Justice. And your work is to regulate the behavior of people, whoever they are. Traditional leaders are not above criminal law. In fact, in the Eastern Cape right now, we have King Dalindyebo, who has been tried in a court, and his case is appealing his case in the legal system, the formal legal system, if we can call it that. And so we're saying, in cases where abuses are reported, let them be treated as such. In conclusion, we call for the Parliament, particularly this committee, to apply its mind very carefully in how we move forward. Enforcing and entrenching a system that is based on boundaries, that is based on colonial segregation, that is based on dividing people further, when in fact there are serious contestations right now, even about some of the traditional leadership, reminds us, some of us, of cases in the 1980s. We know that tribal authorities then, in the Matanzima area, worked in political cases that had nothing to do with custom, and they do so today. This is not only in KZN, it is also in the Eastern Cape as we speak. It is also in other provinces, as other provinces will show. This bill does not even try to bring the spirit of traditional justice. In fact, it is against the very spirit of traditional justice. We ask, ZPEZANUSI, where are the people who are the holders and the reservoirs of knowledge? We ask, where are the leaders who are recognized on the basis of their experience and wisdom? When we talk about customary courts, we're not about talking about something that we're dreaming about. We have areas in the Eastern Cape right now who don't, in fact, rely on tribal authorities. The Kalanga district in Tala, for example, have got communities and council members that they elected outside of the traditional court system. And those courts work very well in terms of dispute resolution. So if we want to talk about customary law, if the department wants to come up with a law that affirms customary law, then it must do so. But this bill, all it does is to give power to traditional leaders so that those who abuse those powers then can abuse them freely and openly. Those who subject people to levies, they can do so freely with the protection of the law. Thank you.
Commissioner?
Thank you, Chairperson. What a comprehensive submission. Because I was checking all the documents we don't have. Will they be able to submit the submission as part and parcel of this submission? That's what I'm asking. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, only two questions. Thank you very much, Kazakh, for the presentation. One is, what is the difference between scrapping and withdrawing? I really need clarity on that one. Maybe you can help me with that. Yesterday, the minister, I want to hear the views of Kazakh on this one. Yesterday, the minister recommended that sufficient consultation must be given and time and space for consultation on this thing. What is the view of Kazakh on these two issues? Thank you very much.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. Thanks for the presentation. I wanted to check from what the presenter is saying. Would it be right to read from what you say that whether intentionally or unintentionally, the bill in its current form carries an anti-transformation agenda of the current judicial system? It comes across on a guise of affirming traditional leadership whilst blocking transformation and views many cases of the rural people as a burden to the current system, and therefore it must be transferred to another system. And therefore, what would then be the view of CASAC on a call for calling for the transformation of the current judicial system so that issues of access and other things can be addressed? Then the second issue related to that, the fact that it is a reality that we have got traditional courts that are practicing now, there are some abuses in some other areas. Don't you see as CASAC a need for the regulation of those practices such that what is done though in those areas is in line with our constitution, even if a new legislation is developed? Thanks, sir.
The Honorable Joseph.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Mr. Garza said that he made a statement saying that the bill does not deal with customary law but rather traditional leaders. Shouldn't the bill deal with both? The two is linked. So I just wanted to put that challenge to you. Very interesting, the statement you made by saying that there should be no opportunity to opt out, which means that if you opt out, it means you are already in it. You are forced into it, and then you have the right to opt out. Is that what you're saying? Did I understand you correctly? That people should have the opportunity to opt into it rather than to opt out of it. Is that what you were saying?
Thank you. South Africa has three tiers. It has got the legislative arm, the government, and the judiciary system. Do you believe that according to this bill seeks to develop a fourth tier? That is the first question. The second question is similar to the one that has been asked by the colleague there. Do you believe that in this bill, a clause should be inserted to say people have a right to choose to go to a traditional court or to a traditional or a magistrate court, even if a complainant has gone and laid a case in a traditional court? Do you believe that a defendant still, according to the Constitution, has a right to ask that the case should be moved to a magistrate court?
Let me start with the last question and I'll come up. Look, ma'am, when people say, I would like to take my case to the magistrate court, it means that they are already subject to the traditional court, the tribal court, which is the status quo now. And if you live in a community and you are a single woman, or even if you're not a single woman, you can be easily isolated for choosing to do something else. So we're saying remove that burden on people. Do what the Constitution says you should do. And what the Constitution says is that you should be able to say, now I believe in the customs of my people. I believe in the customs of my community and my traditional area where I live, where I subscribe to. Therefore, you get into that system knowing what it means as an opt-in. Within that, the department talks about the dynamism of customary law and then gives us a whole interpretation in this bill of the customary law that is frozen in time. Because when you say you cannot have legal representatives in a traditional court because that brings another system, there's an assumption that, in fact, that legal system remains as it is. You can, in fact, have legal representatives. You can call them something else. If you talk about dynamism of customary law, you can do that. And only in customary terms, is somebody that you have confidence in, somebody who's able to understand and to speak and who understands that system. That's why I'm asking ZPE Zanusi. Because the space itself should be such that if I believe that the person from such and such an area actually understands the case of widows, I should have a choice to do so. And those people can have some training to represent people. But for me, that conversation is not on the table right now, as long as we have the traditional court still. On separation of powers, your question, in fact, deals with separation of powers and tiers of government. And this is one of the arguments that we want to make. Separation of powers. When you have a traditional leader, having to develop customary law according to custom, and having to decide to preside, even though traditional leaders tell us that they don't do this alone, they do this in consultation with their council, you are giving them a lot of power. They are the judges. They are the developers of the law. They are all of this. So there's already confusion about separation of powers there. And in fact, in many African cultural customary law systems, there's a very clear role. Now, I've never heard of inkosi that sits when people lead evidence. Inkosi usually is not there, and the decision is brought to inkosi, and inkosi then, with his council, reviews. Other people in this room, coming from other areas, have a different experience of what the role of inkosi is. Some of them will be sitting there as people are leading evidence on their behalf. So even that, you see that even the department doesn't understand the leading customary law and what prevails on the ground right now. Now, we have three tiers of government in South Africa. That's the national, provincial, local government. This bill, when we talk about loss of power that this bill has, it's not just an ideological position or a rejection. It gives traditional leaders the right to be in charge of development. That is why they don't want to give people land. That is why they want to have levies on people. It is not the role of traditional leaders to do that. It's the role of the local government council. In communities in the Eastern Cape, there are big tensions between local government councillors and tribal authorities right now, precisely because ngubani ofika amanxiwa, whose responsibility is it to demarcate residential areas. And so this bill produces, in fact, it brings the institution of traditional leadership as a fourth tier of government, and that is unconstitutional. Now, the bill deals with traditional leaders and also customary law. Can it not do both? Of course it can. Traditional leaders derive their power. Yes, it is hereditary. But they also derive that whole process is part of the customary, the customs of people. So it can deal with that. However, to reduce customary law and recognition of customary law to the recognition and empowerment at the expense of community, of traditional leaders, is what we have problems with what this bill does. Do I believe that this bill is part of anti-transformation agenda of the legal system? Yes, I do. Yes, I do, in my personal capacity, but also as CASAC. The Department of Justice tells us that this bill will promote access to justice. Our experience, in fact, is that it will promote access to injustice. The fact that the department has failed to ensure that people have access to courts does not mean that an even more disempowering system must come. It is the responsibility of the Department of Justice to make sure that each and every South African citizen has access to justice and the court system and the legal system that they choose. That is what the Constitution says. Now, we're saying the department must not push its failure on and make it the burden of South African citizens. Now, however, another element of access, of transformation of the judicial system is, in fact, trying to have an integrated system, which is what I was talking about, that you can walk, you ought to be able to walk to the court here, in Cape Town, in Wynberg or wherever, and say, I've got this issue around marriage. But it can't be tried according to this. It has to be tried according to customary law. And have people who are trained to be able to do that. But at any stage, you have to have a right to opt out, even out of that. If you feel that that is not being handled, all the processes that apply in any other system, they ought to apply. Now, the other aspect, of course, with anti-transformation agenda, is that we would have to define what is transformation of the judiciary. So, you know, what I mean by transformation of the judiciary, maybe what other people agree with what, CASAC has got a very, very definite opinion on what the transformation of the judiciary is. We certainly don't want a situation where the transformation of the judiciary is foregrounded in the way that, in fact, it subsumes the independence of the judiciary to the whim of the political party. Now, do I believe that there's a need to regulate the existing practices? That has made very clear. CASAC says that the Department of Justice can consult with COCTA and Rural Development, or even on its own, and come up with a regulation. Now that they know that there are abuses, what are they going to do about it? And we're saying that a legislation cannot be rushed because the very basis of this legislation, which is the Traditional Local Government Framework, Local Governance Framework Act, is in itself highly contested. Now, we've been told its constitutionality has never been contested. We're going to see in the next few months what is going to happen with the TLCFA. What we are also saying is that the fact that there are two wrongs around the TLCFA and a whole range of Clara and others doesn't mean that we have to continue in that route and deepen segregation of South Africa. Honorable Bloom, sufficient consultation on the basis of this bill is not going to take us anywhere. To use your language, can it be panel beaten? No. Kiskorokoro, sizostaka after 20 kilometers. And the 20 kilometers would be, even before it is applied, as soon as it is passed, this thing is not going to make it to the Constitutional Court. Withdraw and scrapping. You know, in 2008, we pushed for withdrawal. We've learned. Now, withdraw, it means you can reintroduce, as it has happened. Now we're saying scrap it so that we don't have to waste taxpayers' money. The department, we don't know how much money has been spent. We're told consultations were undertaken, comparative studies in India, in China, in Botswana, a whole range of countries. Those countries have got massive problems. India has got a caste system and inequality, and you can see the footmarks, the footprints in this field. China's customary law has long been subsumed into the Communist Party customary law. I don't have to do a teaching of what that means. What we are saying is that let's scrap it and let's have a conversation that says, South Africa, we need to talk about recognition and affirmation of customary systems. This is not only going to be on the African customary law, incidentally. The migrant personal law is going to come. And we also need to look at how do we regulate? Are we going to have, people are going to say, let's have Sharia. And once you have Sharia, it cannot be appealed anywhere. Are we going to be comfortable with that? Are we comfortable with the fact that says, even though I'm neither Galega nor Tembu, but because I live in an area that is demarcated as such, that identity is forced onto me? Are we comfortable with that? Are we comfortable with forced ethnic identities in a country where already there's so much volatility around identity? So we're saying scrap this bill, that we don't want to see it again. What we want to see is a regulation that says that the abuses, this is how the department is going to do it, it's their work. Secondly, what we want to see is a system that says these are the powers that traditional leaders have. These are the powers that they can use. You see, when we make this presentation, some of us are branded as anti-traditional and anti-traditional leaders. That's fine. You know, but the point is, if traditional leaders abuse their power and they bring the dignity and the reputation of the institution in the experiences that have been shared here, and we are expected to keep quiet because we are going to be seen, as a member said on Monday, that everything that is black is painted black. That is not what we're saying. We don't exalt European systems. South Africa is not the only country that has traditional leaders. Britain has. A number of Western countries have. A number of African countries have. We cannot have monarchies in a democracy. We cannot have monarchies in a democracy that interfere and intervene with daily living experiences of people. You can have a recognition of those powers, and you can give them the role that is symbolic and, in fact, that is not empty, that is substantive, but that doesn't affect people's lives adversely.
Do you want to say anything on the blue?
No. Thank you very much for the clarity on scrapping and withdrawing. Thank you very much. I understand it very clear now.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Can we now call a law society?
Thank you, committee members. May I start first by apologizing for my two colleagues who couldn't make it here on time. Our schedule was for 9:45. They couldn't be here on time because of their flight being delayed from Johannesburg. The local government of South Africa appreciates the efforts by Parliament to try and come up with an instrument that would like to retain some remaining sections of the Black Administration Act, which are degrading on our communities. But we feel that the vehicle used is not the right one to resolve this problem. What is more scary when one goes through this bill is that it confers too much power on traditional leaders, which when this bill is finally passed, it might be difficult to try and regulate some of the activities or the things that they do, which is already difficult to regulate at the current moment. As a black woman who has my roots attached in the traditional community, I ask myself what level of training would be sufficient enough to make the traditional leaders that I have known myself experts in customary law. And what level of training will assist them to understand the rules of natural justice? That's the question that I have. And my understanding has always been that some of the attitudes of some traditional leaders I ask myself what level of training would also be sufficient enough to change those attitudes. When one goes through this bill, section by section, one realizes the enormous power that has been conferred on our traditional leaders. If one goes further to look at section 12 of the bill itself, on where it clearly states that the bill cannot, the decision or the sanction of this traditional court is final. But when those sections go further to say the any order made by traditional court has the effect of a civil judgment of the magistrate court having jurisdiction, and it is enforceable in the same manner of a judgment that has been made in the magistrate court. When one still has a problem on how, at some stage, some of the decisions that would be made at this court have been arrived at if no proper recording is guaranteed in terms of this bill. I mean mechanical recording and the proper appeal process. If that proper appeal process, as stipulated in Section 13 and 14 of the bill, has to go through with no proper recording mechanism, how are people going to receive justice at the end of the day? Because if the decision of the traditional leader has the same effect of a decision in the magistrate court, it might result in individuals having to lose their property. And I don't believe that's what our constitution had intended in recognizing the existence of our traditional leaders. I was doing opening remarks, and I'm going to leave to my two colleagues to continue on our presentation.
Thank you, Martha. Mr. Sheikh, committee members, ladies and gentlemen, the preamble of the South African Constitution reports the resolve to build a democratic and open society in which every citizen is protected equally. Section 1 entrenches as a founding principle that South Africa is one sovereign democratic state. We are mindful of the need for making access to justice a reality for all South Africans. Our submissions in terms of the bill, we refer to specific sections. in terms of Section 5 and 6, traditional courts will have the power to deal with cases of a civil as well as a criminal nature. There are, however, no checks and balances on the powers which is granted to traditional chiefs, nor can any separation of powers be seen in the bill. The bill fosters power without accountability and directly defies the separation of powers which is so explicit in the Constitution. Unilateral power is given to traditional chiefs who, in the execution of their duties, will act as legislators, administrators, and judicial officers of customary law. This creates a potential for rural dictators to reign supreme. Unaccountable powers are granted to traditional leaders, which could cause major problems in the foreseeable future. In terms of Section 9, Subsection 3, Subsection 8, it denies a party to the proceedings before traditional court the right of legal representation. Lawyers are not allowed to participate in proceedings, even in respect of criminal cases, thereby infringing on a person's right to legal representation. It is the duty of a legal representative to ensure that his or her client is not prejudiced. Preventing the party the right to legal representation will deny many persons, particularly the uneducated and the indigent, their constitutional right to a fair trial. Both points mentioned above, the separation of powers and the right to legal representation, are constitutionally and legally complex issues that need to be addressed. Although Section 18 makes provision for the recording of the nature of dispute or charge, a summary of the facts and the decision of the court, no provision, however, is made for the keeping of a mechanical record of the entire proceeding. This will make appeal and review proceedings before a magistrate's court extremely difficult. Should legal representation be allowed, it would enhance and entrench access to justice. Legal practitioners do have a key role to play here. Legal practitioners would also allow for the development of customary law, jurisprudence, as well as the harmonization of customary law with the rest of the constitutional framework. In terms of another section, which is Section 19, it provides for the transfer of cases from the traditional court to the magistrate's court or small claims court, and this discretion is at the presiding officer. The parties, however, do not have a right to choose to have their matters heard in a mainstream court, as there is no clause to opt out of the system. They are bound, and they have no option but to be regulated in terms of the proposed act, and it will apply to all in the former homeland areas. If people are compelled to adhere to a system that they did not recognize as legitimate, this would truly be an injustice. Sections 4, subsection 5, as well as 21, subsection 1, subsection B, deals with the training of traditional leaders. If the bill is enacted, careful consideration should be given to the training model, as experience has shown that teaching by way of a manual or aids is not always appropriate in the circumstances. Material should be created which resemble real-life situations as far as possible. The traditional court's bill has clauses, and we should be wary that these clauses have the potential to erode these precious and hard-fought freedoms of ours. South Africa has made commitments through the Constitution, and we have a duty to honor these commitments. We thank you for the opportunity afforded to us this morning. I'd now like you to hand you over to my colleague, Mr. Mabunda, who would take matters further. Thank you.
Thanks for the opportunity, Chair. I believe we are still fully within time. Chair, one point which is very instructive and imperative notwithstanding the criticisms which are being meted out, is that this country cannot remain without taking positive steps towards a particular direction and still remain with certain vestiges of what is known as the Black Administration Act. As you know, the bulk of that act had basically been repealed, but there were certain of the sections which were left unaffected for the interim. Now, what should be borne in mind is that the Constitution itself does recognize the traditional courts. That should be clear. It's clear and unambiguous. If there's any contestation in the first place, it would be whether or not the Constitution should not be recognizing this traditional court. Central is the issue of what do we do having regard to what is confronting us. I mean, it is an indictment, you know, for the government to have left certain vestiges of the Black Administration Act to basically remain. Now, that's where arguments like scraping in totality as defined should not necessarily be found to be merited arguments. But rather, the issue would be what corrective measures do we do in order to make sure that we get rid of the Black Administration Act on which or through which, subject to any controversies, some customary arguments were said to be founded. The bill is basically fraught with a lot of problems, of which reaction does not assist, some of which are those which were basically stated. And you have been consuming the problem with which the bill is fraught with. But can't we try to work to find mechanisms of ensuring that we align this bill becoming an act with our constitution in line with the goals as espoused by the justice ministry? In other words, the goals or the preamble clearly sets out what the objective is. Now, when you look at the objective and you find that a large or substantial component of those goals do not align themselves with the Constitution, shouldn't it be that we should be finding ways, means, and mechanism of ensuring that we work towards the realization of that particular objective? For instance, concern which has been expressed about the powers which are being bestowed on traditional leaders. I saw something which might be a possible workable solution, that those powers not necessarily be vested on the traditional leaders per se, but through their traditional councils, and having regard to that issue of representativity in those councils. I know that there is a legislation which is governing the issue of representativity within councils, in that it should not mirror the general concerns which are being raised insofar as the issue of representativity is concerned. Central to that, what may be required is aligning our customs with the rules of natural justice, because one important factor is that even if there is clear and unambiguous recognition by the Constitution of customary law, there is a rider that it must align itself with the Constitution. I think those are the kind of arguments which and then we should basically be advancing in assisting this particular committee about the course of action which they should be embarking on in an endeavor to make sure that we align our customary law with the Constitution because it is being recognized. And may I add, from a jurisprudential point of view, this country is settled with a model which is largely Roman Dutch.
Can you please keep quiet and allow him to continue?
Is there a problem with my submission? I have to. Oh, the spirit. It is a fact. It is a fact. It's Roman Dutch law, English law, and common law. And our constitution is very clear and unambiguous that customary law has to be equally recognized. What that means, whether people like it or not, is that customary law is actually or should be on par with what is applicable insofar as the applicable dominant legal framework is concerned. Now, what do we need to do? What we need to do is making it a point that there is clear infusion and clear recognition into the legal framework when it comes to customary law. In other words, we need an expansive approach as opposed to the narrow approach as it is manifesting itself now. What is one of the ways which and then we could do that? Through this particular proposal which is before Parliament, if properly couched, of course, we could use that as a mainstream through which some of the issues which are customary in nature could be dealt with at that particular level. But having regard to the rules of natural justice and equally affording the right of appeal and review, moving forward, there must be those rights so that any person, any individual, whether it's through customary law adjudication, has an inherent right, an inherent and inalienable right when his or her rights are basically affected to have access to our courts in the general sense. So what does that demand of our courts? Our courts equally need to make adjudication on customary law. I would submit at a high court level because when we talk of magistrates' court, they do not have the powers, the constitutional powers, you know, in terms of declaring a particular conduct or act to be unconstitutional. So from the transitional council court as opposed to the traditional court, with the right of legal representation in those structures, with the odi alteram partem, with mechanical recording, a new jurisprudential ethos in line with the Constitution could permeate from that particular level, but going into the High Court level, where the declaration, if ever there are issues of constitutionality, may be determined. But when it comes to the ordinary day-to-day men and women in the street and in the villages being affected by rights at that particular level, to the extent which their rights may not be severely be affected and some form of justice in the form of restorative justice is meted out, that become a moot point, but something which is under which may be under consideration, but the doors of access to justice should not be closed. In other words, the contemplated court, which they say it should not be a court as such, should not close the door in terms of the people asserting their rights, especially their constitutional right, if they, for any reason, feel that their rights are basically trampled upon. One critical point is the word court. I repeat, court. Court must be court, and court must not be a restrictive court. All the rights which are enjoined on other people in terms of the current model should be equally be enjoined in those particular courts. So what I'm harping on is modeling, and proper modeling having regard to the rights in the Constitution. I think perhaps I could just leave it at that, and then I will be prepared to answer the questions.
Yeah, thank you very much. Honorable Joseph, Honorable Bloom, and Kose.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I just would like to get clarity on this definition that the presenters are wording as mechanical records. Because in Section 18A, I see the just the word records. Proper records must be kept. And they keep on referring to mechanical records. I'd like to know what is the difference in their understanding. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you very much for this very good presentation. Chairperson, one question. You see, the whole week we're talking about penal beating. Now there's a new word, corrective measures. Now, if you see yesterday, even the minister were saying that there's a lot of recommendations that she have made. Kazak, now I ask Kazak the same question. Do you think that this bill is penal beating available or what? Or do you think you are coming now with a new word in corrective? Can you explain what is the difference between corrective measures and scrapping or withdrawing? Thanks, Chair.
Chairperson, thank you to the first presenter who spoke about Amakhosi who could not be able to be trained or who would be resistant to the kind of training with regard to this bill. I don't know if the presenter could maybe make an example. One example of an inkosi who was not trainable. Because right now there are makosi who are working, who are using some pieces of legislation, interpreting laws or construing laws. And I don't know how can you assist me on that one. And another issue is that of attitude. You said you have doubts as to what training can be given to the traditional leaders in order to change attitude. I don't know, because we have Amakhosi who are, to me, who are accommodative, doing the job not as bad as some of the people are painting them. Lastly, the issue of individuals who can end up losing their properties, I wish to know as to in what sense. do those individuals end up losing those properties? Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. Just by comment is my first point to add to what the Honorable Member was saying to the first speaker there, that in fact I also considered her comment to be insulting to her as a black person, to use her personal experience maybe of one or two traditional leaders and look down upon traditional leaders and consider them untrainable. I consider that insulting to the traditional leaders and to her as a black person. That's a general comment, Chair. Then to the last gentleman, the whole issue of having mentioned the Dutch law and that law and that law, the need for the transformation of the judiciary, the current judicial system, and the need for the Africanization of the judicial system. So wouldn't it be something important to consider in the current processes, you know, take the issue of assessors, where you would have traditional leaders participating in assessors in the current course as part of transformation and communities being part of the system, so that you don't move away from transformation, transforming what you have, so that you have African courts because they are here in Africa, so that you deal with these issues that you raise as part of the transformation agenda.
Can respond. Yes.
I'll deal with those I'm able to. Proper records and mechanical recording. If what is envisaged in proper records, proper recording is inclusive of mechanical recording, then the argument falls away. But what we are highlighting by proper recording, we are emphasizing mechanical recording for one reason. If there is a need for an appeal or a review, the verbatim of a record, which is mechanically recorded, is better placed than proper recording. Should, at any given time, proper recording be limited to reduction to notes, because they may be subject to manipulation and or not properly recording. So it is instructive that there be mechanical recording so as to assist the process going forward, not as anticipated by the bill in making this traditional court to be some court of final arbiter. So I hope that's clarified. The Honorable Bloom, corrective measures, as well as panel beating, as well as scrapping. Chair, you will recall that I emphasized one critical point, that we can't not have a legislation intended to be in conformity with the Constitution after a particular recognition has been accorded. If there's anything, we have to find ways and means of brainstorming, dealing with the issues, and grappling with what do we mean by customary law. But then we cannot say such must be scrapped. There is recognition, and then if we say that must be scrapped, we mean that there must be a vacuum. There must be a vacuum which is basically left. And that is not sustainable because it has got the effect of perpetuating what I said is perceived to be the dominant laws of this country. There is a need for jurisprudence, you know, in line with the Constitution, and obviously custom is subject to evolution when we look at various pronouncements and various pieces of legislation where the rights had been affected. So there are checks and balances. So wherever rights are affected, and then there are mechanisms to deal with that, but we need a framework. We need a framework. We cannot come 30 years into democracy not having a framework, you know, within which we have to work in. But let us deal with the limitations within that particular framework and see what measures do we invoke to make sure that the rights of people and the vulnerable are not affected. But jurisprudence should basically be evolving. So corrective measures, Honorable Bloom, will be covered within the explanation which I have given. Scraping is for those who do not align themselves with this constitutional injunction which is there. Corrective measures is coming with the wisdom which was being punted around here to say, here is the wisdom which is anticipated within the legislation, and this is how we believe the framework should be, but within the constitutional injunctions.
Withdrawing.
Withdrawing means what it says. It was properly defined to you by the last speaker from Kazakh. In other words, it means that it can still come back. So